Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Jay, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. I've really enjoyed reading your work. And I think the thing I most like about your written work is the infectious nature of it. That you really love golf and that it comes through in your writing. But how did you kind of come to being able to write about golf in a way that you do, that frankly is different than pretty much anyone else writes about golf?
Well, I appreciate that, Ryan. You know, I think, to be honest, I had a lot of feelings about the game, you know, that they're obviously very strong opinions that, you know, race through my head every time I get a club in my hand. And a few years ago, I finally just started, you know, spitting them out. I felt like I had, you know, kind of a lifetime of golf memories and golf thoughts and opinions that needed to come out. Someone said that you become a writer when you have something to say. And I've always had a lot to say about golf, and I'm glad that I finally started putting pen to paper and fingers on keyboards and letting that stream of consciousness come out. I certainly tell a lot of what I call, you know, Jay Rebel golf stories. They're very personalized, but I think my favorite part about doing that work is that I have had an opportunity to connect with golfers literally all over the globe over the last 4 or 5 years. I get random emails and social media messages in my inbox all the time. And someone found the book, a friend gave it to them. They discovered a column I wrote or heard me on a podcast or interview somewhere. And they went down my rabbit hole and really connected. I think a lot of people see some of themselves in the stories that I tell, because again, you know, I try to be honest and open and let people kind of behind the curtain a little bit. I think a lot of people find that if they love golf in a very deep way, they'll see a lot of that in my words too.
Are you or were you a note-taking kind of guy? Like, it's stuff that the stream of consciousness stuff as you think of it and you put it down in a, you know, pad and paper or journal or that type of thing, or when you were sitting down to write your books, is this stuff that you were just like, hey, oh, and that kind of guy?
A little bit of both. I am always making notes. I mean, throughout the day, whether it's, you know, I've got a handful of you know, leather bound notebooks that I really like. Every time I see a good looking notebook, I buy one and it starts to fill up with all kinds of little fun things, whether it's about golf or things that I'm doing, you know, storytelling for clients. And then my Google Docs are just insane. I wear that app out on my phone because I'll be on the golf course somewhere or on a trip, and you wake up and you've got some thoughts about what you did the day before or what you're literally in the middle of. And I'll write one or two lines real quick and just type them out and go, okay, I'll come back to that later. And a lot of times, you know, I have a routine. I try every day at 9 a.m. I get in front of the computer and I write for an hour. It doesn't matter what I write about, but in the chair, got to write. And some days it's as short as writing an ad for a client. Other days it's writing an essay for the Golfer's Journal. It just depends on, you know, what we got going on. But I use those notes to kind of go back through and find what it is that I'm compelled to write about. And sometimes little bits and pieces from those notes come together into something larger. But it's a fun process and has been a good one for me.
I'm kind of one of those people that I always have like a small piece of paper in my pocket. I'm like a list thought guy, like, hey, come back to this later or think about that right now. And it's been weird the last few years going to a notes app of going from handwriting everything to, okay, I can just put this in my phone and not lose 6 pieces of paper in the laundry and a bunch of good ideas with it. Were you a paper guy that went to an app guy, or were you always kind of an app guy?
Well, I was a paper guy. And then what I found is similarly, I just, for whatever reason, I never could find the right habit with paper to keep those notes together. That was made it easy for me to, you know, jot something down. You know, when you've got something physical like that, you got to carry around. Like if you're walking down the, you know, 13th fairway at Pebble Beach and you get an idea, you're not going to have a notebook with you probably, you know, but you can pull your phone out, you know, jot something down real quick about the view and come back to it later. And I've got a pretty good way that I tab all those notes and everything on there. So that works out well. And, you know, my newest book, Swing, Walk, Repeat, I wrote that entire book, at least the principal writing of that book was done between, you know, 5 and 7 a.m. on my couch. And I wrote the entire thing on my phone. That whole book was written.
The whole thing?
I wrote the whole thing.
Wow.
And I honestly, I wrote it through Instagram. Every one of those passages in that book started as an Instagram post.
Huh.
Yep.
Was that by design? Was that a kind of inspirational, creative process?
Yeah,
thing,
or sort of.
Like, hey, I got something here.
It was really interesting. So January 1, 2020, I was out on the golf course. We live three blocks from Capital City Country Club here in Tallahassee. Great old Tillinghast track, really pretty. It was a beautiful winter day, you know, about 60 degrees. I was out with my wife and daughter, who was my only child at the time, and just beautiful. And I remember sitting at home that night, and my wife had taken this great picture of my daughter carrying her doll around, like with me carrying my golf bag and hitting some shots. And I was just kind of reflecting on it. And I sat down and I went to post the picture, and I wrote a little caption about the experience. And I went back before I hit post, I wrote at the top, golf story, one of 365. And I said, you know what, let's try a resolution for the year. Let's see if I can write some little, you know, missive about my love for golf every day this year. It'll be a great writing prompt. It'll be a nice little exercise and see if you can keep things, you know, short and tight. And I started doing it. And then obviously, you know, a couple months later, the pandemic, you know, hits.
Right.
World turns completely upside down. Golf starts this, you know, whole new trajectory. And really and truly, you know, it became my outlet for dealing with a lot of the stress and complications that were going on in the world, challenges that I was having professionally during that time. My company at the time had downsized and ended up losing the position there. We got pregnant. We lost that pregnancy. I started my own company later that year. I mean, it was a real adventurous year. And golf became more therapeutic for me than it ever has been. And that process of sitting down every day and writing out some thoughts about the game just became a huge coping mechanism, if you will. It became a reason for me to get up and have a cup of coffee and channel my thoughts into some positive things every morning. And by the time the year was done, I didn't end up getting to 365, but I think we ended up with like 270-ish posts. And then I went back through and I was kind of like, you know, there's enough good here that we might could do something with this. So I put them all into one big Word doc, kind of went back through, started shaping them up a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. And actually, I was on another podcast and I was talking about my first book, The Nine Virtues of Golf. And one of the listeners had just started a great publishing company called Back Nine Press. And Jim says, hey, you know, you mentioned to me that you got this manuscript. I'd love to take a look at it. And I sent it off to him and the rest is history.
Just a sidebar, but about Jim Hartzell, can you give people a little bit of background on him just real quick? And the same infectious enthusiasm that he has for golf is probably similar to you, I would imagine.
Yeah. Jim Hartzell is an amazing human being and just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. If you know him, if you've ever read his work, if you read his first book, The Secret Home of Golf about Sweetens Cove, that's where we met. I think we were up there at one of Zach Blair's events a few years back. But, you know, Jim and I connected up there. I'm sitting here looking at a painting that he had commissioned for Sweetens Cove that he sent me a print of. You know, I only met him one time, and I got, you know, it's just that kind of a guy. The game means a lot to him. He's a beautiful writer, very introspective as well, great storyteller. So Jim Sitar is the founder of Back Nine Press, and he's developed this great stable of, I think, pretty similarly minded golfers, myself and Jim Hartzell. Shane Bacon had the new the Golfer's Zoo book that came out this year. He's got some more stuff coming soon. And, you know, we just all kind of golf nuts that like to tell stories. And Back Nine Press has given us a great home to share those stories with the world.
You talked about kind of golf as therapy and potentially escape. I think there's kind of, maybe everyone is a little bit of each, but I feel like there's two ways to think about golf, either as an escape or as an allegory. And how do you tend to view it?
Mostly an escape, especially at this point in my life. I have been a super hyper competitive golfer at various stages. I was in high school. I opted not to play in college, had some opportunities, but decided to go to Florida State and goof off for 4 years. And when I got out, you know, single, didn't have a whole lot to do on Saturdays and Sundays. I got back into competitive golf and started doing the, you know, mid-am circuit and all that kind of stuff. And now with two kids and the business, you know, I'm back to just, you know, any chance I get to play is an opportunity for me to just sort of let go of a lot of the things that I've got to manage day to day. Now, I still play some competitive stuff. I've narrowed down, you know, what I do with that, mostly four ball stuff, you know, so I don't have the weight of the world just on me, but, and I still, you know, the old fiery juice still comes out. I love it, but you know, golf to me, I just have yet to find anything else in my life that you can use as a means to find deeper connections with yourself, with God, with nature, with friends, with family. That's really its primary purpose in my life now. It's what I like to write about the most. Obviously, you know, golf gives you a great means to travel, an excuse to go see the world. You know, some people, they travel and they might play golf when they travel. You know, I like to travel for golf, right? And got my first trip to Bandon Dunes coming up in May.
Awesome.
Excited for that, you know, and just that'll be a, I think, a pretty rich experience on a lot of the channels that I like to surf on.
For people who maybe feel similarly about golf and just that makes them think, makes them ponder, how much can you encourage them to actually put some time into taking those thoughts and spinning them into something, whether that's a short essay, a poetry, five sentences, just whatever it is that means something to them?
Well, you know, I think my favorite thing about being a golf writer is that from time to time, I can go back and reflect on an experience that I had in the past. And I can remember where I was then and have a pretty clear picture of what my mentality was. And that's pretty neat. I was actually listening to another podcast with Ryan Holiday, the Daily Stoic, if you ever read any of his stuff.
Yep.
And he was talking about how he does a one line journal every day. He writes one sentence a day in there, and he just uses it to kind of, you know, track his mindset and what's going on, you know, in his life. And he loves going back through it and seeing where he was at different points in time. I said, you know, that's a great idea. And then I said, boy, that's also a great idea, you know, for the golfers in the world, right? I mean, imagine if all you did is every time you played golf, just like you get into the Gen app and put your handicap score update in, if you just sat down, had a notebook somewhere or a Google Doc or whatever, and wrote one sentence about, you know, the golf experience you had that day. What a great thing it would have, you know, you'd be able to go back and read it. Or maybe your kids go back and read it one day. And I just think that golf is such a rich and rewarding game that you also can take it further if you're willing to document your experiences a little bit and, don't let your memories just live in your mind. You can bring them out onto the page.
Are you, as a writer, a free form guy that it comes easy to when you're sitting at the computer, or are you someone that kind of has to have a long note sheet with you, kind of get your main points, or maybe even deeper than that, and then you feed off of that somewhere in between?
Probably somewhere in between. I mean, I definitely free form my first drafts on pretty much everything I do. Now, what I do when I'm note taking a lot is, let's say if I'm doing like a big story feature for the Golfers Journal, you know, I have to go on site and do my experience with whatever the subject is, whether it's a course or the person or the people there or whatever, you know, whatever the story is. I like to go spend 2 or 3 days with these folks at that place, really try to get an understanding of what it is, who they are, what makes them tick, what's interesting and special about this place. I take a lot of notes, just, you know, again, jotting stuff down, particularly, you know, if I'm got a break or at the end of the day, I take a recorder with me and record everything, speak to it myself, speak to it there. Usually when I'm driving or flying back home too, I'm filling out other notes and then usually get in front of the computer and I just try to dump all of that out. I mean, I always mess with, Travis Hill at Golfers Journal. I send very long first drafts to him. I tell him this is my opening negotiation for page space, you know. but I like to do that because I like to kind of get all of it out. And I say, look, these are all the things that are memorable to me. And I write it, you know, pretty full. Shape it up, have an arc to it. Really like to have the whole thing laid out. And then we'll kind of go through a series of conversations about, you know, what are the most important pieces and how can we maybe weave elements together. Then you start trimming and cutting. That's the hardest part of all of it, is just what you throw away. But it's fun. Again, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do, to have all this stuff swimming around in your head and then sit down and let it all breathe out. And then when you can turn it into a finished story, it's pretty cool to see, particularly, like I said, you know, it's very rewarding when the new book first comes in the mail or that new issue of Golfers Journal lands on your front steps and you get to open it up and see what it all looks like.
Well, Jay, thank you for spending time with us. Can you tell folks where they can get a hold of you and get a hold of your work?
Yeah, so you can get a hold of me at jrevel.com. All my golf books and writings are available on there, easy to track down, follow on social. I'm at J Revel Writes on Instagram, which is a lot of fun, and at J Revel on Twitter. And easiest place to find the books is Amazon. Just search J Revel. Got the 9 Virtues of Golf is my first book. My newest book is Swing, Walk, Repeat. And then you can also find that book directly from our publisher at back9press.com. That's back9press.com.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Good to catch up with you, buddy.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,